welcome to another exciting Wake Up Your Sunday edition of Truth Jihad Radio, right here at We the People Radio Network. Today I'm going to be talking with a couple of real movers and shakers and shaker-uppers in 9/11 Truth and elsewhere. Two of my my favorite troublemakers, and should be fun. The first hour, I'll be talking with somebody who has really gotten into some scrapes with the powers that be in front of some cameras, caused a little bit of disruption, taken some flack for it even from within the 9/11 Truth Movement, but is really contributing to getting the peace, truth, impeachment kind of message across. It's Peter Bottom. He's with LANIC. He was with LANIC, the National Impeachment Center. He's with LA 9/11 Truth and also We Are Change LA. Peter was the one of the masterminds of that incredible project last fall when they were able to get on Bill Maher and keep on interrupting him and asking him about 9/11. That was perhaps the most successful or one of the most successful of these kinds of Truth Squad interventions ever. And then Peter just took it to the next level. Just last week, he was actually arrested and spent the night in jail after he disrupted a performance by Nancy Pelosi. And he was asking her the question that so many of us would love to get in her face and ask her, what do you mean impeachment's off the table with this outrageously criminal administration, the most criminal administration in history, perhaps the most criminal government in world history? You just can't put anything past these guys, and yet you're just letting them happily finish their term. What's going on here, Nancy? So Peter was taken out by security, spent the night in jail. So he's really laying it on the line for the cause. And it's an honor to have Peter Thodham on the show. Welcome, Peter. How are you doing?
Hey, Kevin. It's good to be back. I'm in Chicago now, so I have to shout here. There's an air show going on in the background.
I know how that is. I remember doing a show actually from the from O'Hare Airport, and I had to shout a little bit too. So shout out to Chicago is fine.
There's literally a military air show going on with U.S. Air Force planes just sort of showing their might and strength in the skies of Chicago.
Well, that's reassuring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where we're at, and that's why it was a surreal experience for me in that book talk that Nancy Pelosi was at, the signing and the interview at the University of Judaism in Pepperdine, basically, Malibu. You have to be there. I mean, I went there. I was just an attendee. I was one of 12 people who got tickets to the event. And outside, there were something like 30 to 40 protesters, impeachment, and other causes, of course, 9/11. And, you know, 40 minutes into the talk that Nancy was giving, I just, you know, she was on her third spiel rant about how great Congress was and how she completely believed in the integrity of the vast majority of our House of Representatives. She said there were only 50 out of 460 representatives that she had any concerns regarding in terms of their loyalties and their upholding the Constitution. And I just
there aren't even five that I don't have any concerns about. But go on.
It was surreal, Kevin. You know, Nancy Pelosi at the end of the day is completely out of touch with what's going on, not just outside of the United States, but I think within the U.S. The domestic problems that are out there, the imploding economy, her stories and her anecdotes just became too much. She was just going off the deep end, and I felt like not enough people had stood up and said, you know, called a spade and said to these leaders how much they are betraying not just the citizens that they represent, but the founding fathers and the Constitution. I told her, listen, you're flushing the toilet. You're flushing the Constitution, shoving it down the toilet. You are destroying the First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, and Eighth Amendments. You've taken impeachment off the table. Who gave you the right to do that? Cindy Sheehan's son is dead. 5,000 Americans are dead. 1 million Iraqis are dead. We spent over $1 trillion on a war that should never have been started. And you know, our country is on the fast track to becoming a police state. And of course, the Secret Service agents all surrounded me and dragged me out of there, handcuffed me. We went through a 40-minute, question and answer process.
Well, these were real Secret Service agents then, not just the security.
It was LAPD and the Secret Service. Initially, it was the security guard saying, you know, please take this gentleman out. I went through a 40-minute interrogation, and then they took me to the booking station, Pacific Division, LAPD, for processing. The charge was citizen's arrest and, initiated by Nancy Pelosi through the security guard, heckling slash, and then they found out they couldn't do anything with respect to the heckling charge, so they converted it to a trespassing charge, and now I have a court appearance ordered on September 4th.
Really? So trespassing, but you didn't climb over any barbed wire fences to get in there, did you?
No. The charge was that I didn't immediately start cooperating. I gave myself 20 seconds to continue my spiel as soon as someone put their hand on my shoulder. And because I didn't immediately stop talking, it's considered trespassing. They're alleging, and I don't think there's any water in this charge. I'm going to fight it tooth and nail, but they're alleging that I was trespassing because I continued to press forward on my question.
Well, if you get a jury trial on this, Peter, I predict that you'll find at least one juror brave enough to not convict you. More likely, you'll find all 11.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens on September 4th. By the way, I want to clarify something for the record. I was asked to leave We Are Change LA. I'm no longer a member of We Are Change LA.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Well, a couple of months ago, there was a falling out with 9/11 Truth LA. And I don't want to – We Are Change has done some fantastic work. But there are some differences with respect to 9/11 Truth LA and We Are Change LA, and it's the same stuff you see everywhere in New York included, and I think
so
we're at a
point
now.
You're with 9/11 Truth now, 9/11 Truth LA?
Well, I've always been with 9/11 Truth LA, and
okay.
We Are Change LA only got formed this year, essentially at the beginning of this year. And all of that is just sort of ego issues. Look,
right.
Like everyone else, I'm worried, I'm concerned, and some people have different views about how those concerns should be expressed and vented. I spend a full year working on impeachment. I put $10,000 of my own money into Lanik, the LA National Impeachment Center, as executive director. And we gathered 16,000 signatures, handwritten signatures, verifiable addresses. I know the New York City Ballot Initiative spent, a couple of months and they got together about 20,000 plus signatures. And at the end of the day, out of 14 congressional reps that we lobbied, we got two, both African-American, to sign on board Dennis Kucinich's H.West 233. But, most of these people, these reps, basically just give lip service. They're beholden ultimately more to corporations and defense contractors and real estate developers than they are to anything close to the we the people. And we the people has become we the corporations in this country. And we are at that point, people, and you know it, Kevin. We're at that point where the media, the entire political apparatus has become very corrupt. These congressional reps are all about personal aggrandizement and self-advancement. They've completely lost touch with the working man and with the realities of what's going on in Iraq. The destruction of the Constitution is something that's sort of an abstract thing to the vast majority of them. It's all about big money now in Washington. And Nancy Pelosi is the ultimate manifestation of the hypocrisy of the system. Cindy Sheehan's campaign is the ultimate manifestation of the people's attempt to reassert the Constitution and stand up for their rights.
That's right. I'm running for Congress in an insurgent campaign here in Wisconsin. We have a few other insurgent candidates, Carol Brulé out in California, but Cindy is really the flagship people's candidate, and so let's wish her the best success.
Yeah, and I hope people do more than just wish her. I mean, I actually drove up to San Francisco and worked on a campaign for a week. I mean, she needs people. We have the emails and the cyberspace stuff can only go so far, okay? Standing up with street signs and holding up banners is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But, we've spent 5 years in Iraq now, 7 years of lives post 9/11. We're at the seventh year anniversary. And we in the truth movement and in the impeachment movement and the anti-war movement have got to come together, have got to strategize, to think, to brainstorm, and figure out ways not just to communicate our message, but to go take it to the next level, to engage in acts of resistance, in action, in political lobbying, in high visibility action, that really put the fear of the people into these legislators. And, you know, I've never done anything like what I did on the Bill Maher action was something very different, but I've never been arrested for heckling. And you know, the fact that...
You're being beat up by Bill Maher, but not arrested.
Well, there was someone else who was beat up. I was roughed up, but I mean, you know, we're losing our rights, and the First Amendment itself is being destroyed in this country. I mean, I don't know if you heard, Kevin, but Sam Zell, who's a Chicago real estate billionaire, he brought the L.A. Times last year, the Tribune Company, and he has completely eviscerated the staff at the L.A. Times. The news content has gone out the window. They've had three publishers. This morning, or yesterday, actually, they just announced the fourth publisher, the previous one having resigned in disgust at what Zell was doing for the editorial staff. The new publisher is a DirecTV Rupert Murdoch affiliate. He's had zero experience in publishing, and he's going to take over the ownership and management, or the management of the Times, the LA Times, you know, which is the second biggest newspaper in the country, and has 30% less editorial and news reporters than it did a year ago. I mean, that's what's happening to this country, and I think too many Americans are asleep at the switch, being entertained and distracted, and are not aware of how their newspapers, their media, are becoming complete propaganda tools for the corporate elite.
Well, that's right. And I think we should also mention regarding the Sam Zell takeover of the Chicago Tribune Company, which publishes the L.A. Times, that up until that moment, the L.A. Times and the Chicago Tribune had been relatively independent compared to the other biggest papers, such as, well, primarily the New York Times, which is a Zionist flagship, and the Washington Post, which is a CIA Zionist flagship. The Chicago Tribune had a long history of being relatively independent, and particularly of not going along quite as much as the other big papers with being a total propaganda voice for Israel. And Sam Zell is apparently a Zionist multi-billionaire, and he has turned the Tribune and the L.A. Times into just another lousy corporate propaganda organ, plus all-out pro-Israel coverage. So,
can I say something, Kevin?
Go.
It's not just Sam Zell and the Chicago Tribune Company. When the Chandler family owned the L.A. Times before, and the Washington Journal, well, not the Washington Journal, the Wall Street Journal was taken over by Rupert Murdoch last year, and Peter Chernin, who's his number two guy, who's also in charge of the Fox News division. I mean, what Americans and truthers and other people need to realize is that the newspapers in this country are nothing like what they were 2 years ago, or nothing like what they were 7 years ago. And the entire media apparatus in this country has been turned upside down. It's become something very different, where it's stories about Britney Spears, Michael Jackson, Tom Cruise, Paris Hilton, and the like that make the news. And where the news itself today is more about entertainment and distraction, and about keeping people sort of uninformed, than it is about highlighting, the way the LA Times did under the Chandler family, the travesties and the tragedies going on in Iraq and elsewhere. The Chandler family was very anti-Iraq war, and the L.A. Times was unambiguously progressive and against the war. Today,
it's
a very different story.
They had Robert Scheer.
Yes, you know, and then they can't do much for the sale to Sam Zell to,
right,
you know, to clean house.
Right. They also, as I recall, published a column by Kevin Phillips in which he predicted that David Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, would take down the Bush regime by the 2004 elections. That column was published in spring 2004. It's one of the little-known pro 9/11 truth outbursts by a big-name person who has since, you know, crawled back into his shell and not said anything. But yeah, Kevin Phillips came right out and said he thought that Griffin's New Pearl Harbor was going to take down the Bush regime in 2004. It's too bad that didn't happen, of course. But
The
LA Times published that in 2004.
The LA Times is becoming the San Francisco Chronicle. I used to live in San Francisco and Palo Alto, and the Chronicle today is the National Enquirer. It is a joke newspaper. It's the number one newspaper in the entire Bay Area. There's almost zero international content. I was up there for Memorial Day.
You know, Peter, I think I hear the music. I think we're going into a break.
Okay.
So Well, no, I don't. So I have no idea whether we're on the air here right now. Let's just continue.
We are at that point, people, where we are Germans in 1939, 1940, and the legal infrastructure, the political infrastructure, the technological infrastructure for the police state, for martial law, is here. And, you know, we are far too passive we're too confined to these street protests and emails and you know, online listservs. You know, that stuff makes us feel good because we're venting. But we got to hold these leaders accountable. We have to do it in their faces. And if Nancy Pelosi needs to be called a fascist pig, then so be it.
Hear, hear. Okay, well, I do hear the music, speaking of hear, hear. So I guess we are going into our break now. Kevin Barrett talking with Peter Sodom of LA 9/11 Truth. We'll be right back. Yeah.
Great host, great topics, free speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Peter Sodom of the Los Angeles 9/11 Truth Group. I guess he's got to be a joker and do what he please when Nancy Pelosi starts ranting, saying a bunch of nonsense, and he can't take it anymore. Peter stands up and tells the world what he thinks and got him arrested just last week. Peter, we're talking about the dire state of emergency our country is facing. And the fact that these people's candidates, led by Cindy Sheehan up in the Bay Area, are perhaps our best hope of trying to wake people up as fast as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people want to get a feel for what actually happened, my website has the video and an article by Public Record News, peterfodom.com/Pelosi.html. If you just go to peterfodom.com, there's a link at the top to the Nancy Pelosi photos and news coverage. It's not just the stuff about what happened with me, but Progressive Democrats of LA and Code Pink were there too. All that's at that link. And here's what it really boils down to, Kevin. I worked on Cindy Sheehan's campaign for a week. She has a core group of about, you know, 16 to 20 volunteers, but only 3 to 5 of them on any given day are helping her out. And Cindy has raised, you know, something like $170,000, $200,000to date. Nancy Pelosi has a war chest of $2 to $3 million. Plus, on top of that, Al Gore is funding the television commercials with an additional $2 to $3 million. In direct contravention of the McCain-Feingold limitation, may I add, and giving Nancy Pelosi free coverage. So here's what I'm saying. The campaign financing system in this country is so screwed up. The people like Nancy Pelosi feel completely secure in their position. The incumbency rate, as you know, Kevin, for congressional representatives is between 94% to 96%. And it's so hard for someone like Cindy to win without people actually getting involved in her campaign. She needs people, volunteers, to go that extra mile, to take time off from work, to donate money to Tiffany Burns, you know, her campaign manager, and to help them get ads. And I mean, this stuff doesn't just happen. Just because we're online, and I've seen this in the last week, there's tremendous outrage against Pelosi. People are signing all sorts of emails and sending all sorts of things and posting things online. But at the end of the day, the cyberspace community, you know, I think Cindy is polling 9% in San Francisco, which is an extremely progressive, liberal-aware region of the country. But she's still only running 9% against Nancy Pelosi. And in order for her to win, she's going to have to get, you know, 50% of the vote. So I'm saying this because people like yourself, like Carol Boulle, are out there running, but they're not getting enough support. And in the 9/11 truth movement, I've directly experienced this thing with We Are Change LA, et cetera. And all this internal bickering and squabbling has got to stop. We've got to come together and present a united front and stick to the one core message, which I think most the vast majority of the movement wants, which is that we the people of the United States, demand a brand new investigation, independent international investigation of the events and causes of 9/11. And we've got to stick to our message, and we've got to use the New York City ballot initiative process and every available means to make sure that message is heard throughout the country. And, the street protests, the email campaigns, that's all great. The websites are fantastic. We've got to go to public forums and venues and use the Q&A opportunities, the public microphones. I think you know about the White Rose Coalition I put together at the beginning of this year. We had 400 activists in Pasadena at the Tournament of Roses parade, and Cindy Sheehan joined us, and it was a terrific action where we took to the streets. We had no permits. We were 400 citizens focusing on impeachment, using the public media that day to get to the 40 million people the stuff that was being blacked out by corporate mainstream media, i.e. the message that impeachment is something that there's a mass movement that's mobilizing around. And Nancy's now aware of that. She clearly heard me loud and clear. I swear, the look on her face when I stood up and screamed at the top of my lungs, you know, that I was going to vomit and that she was flushing our Constitution down the toilet is one I will never forget. It's one of the best things I've ever done in my life. And
people can see this at your website, peterthodham.com, right?
Yeah, the Nancy Pelosi link. You know,
spell out the website. It's Peter, T-H-O-T-T-H-A-M.
No, H-A-M. It's peterthodham.com.
Okay.
And the Pelosi link is at the very top of the website. You know, I mean, here's what it boils down to. They lied to us. They clearly lied to us about Iraq. And a million Iraqis are dead, and $1 trillion has been wasted. And we now have the Constitution being worked and put aside in a way that didn't even happen during World War II. FISA Act violations, waterboard torture, surveillance cameras everywhere, LCD screens. The police state apparatus is in place, and we all know it. Okay, now we're staring at this in the face. The economy is imploding now, and more signals are going up about a possible second false flag operation. Our time is now, and we have got to mobilize.
Okay, and we got to get out of cyberspace and get out onto the streets sometimes, get out into the real world and support insurgent candidates like Cindy Sheehan.
Like yourself and Carol Boulle.
Yeah. The campaign here is pretty interesting. I've got a Libertarian Party challenger, which is helping stimulate interest. We're going to have a riverboat debate a week from today and on a riverboat in the Wisconsin River. Myself and Ben Olson, the Libertarian primary challenger. So that should be interesting. And all of this is helping make people aware of this campaign. And I'm running on a peace and truth ticket, Peter. So I'm hoping to help people see the relationship between peace and truth, that they go together, the wars, the lies that launched the Iraq war, and, of course, 9/11, which was one of the lies that launched the war. It's easier to see this picture when you see it in terms of this connection between peace and truth. So that's what I'm trying to hammer on that message here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, Wisconsin's great. I was just in Wisconsin yesterday in Milwaukee and Madison, and I've never been there before, Kevin, and I was really pleased to see how progressive. You know, I went to the Capitol and saw the farmer's market, walked around. I talked to some impeachment activists there. Some anti-war activists, and it's really refreshing to see good Americans, you know, in the streets standing up for what's right, and a literate, progressive crowd in the heartland of America.
Did you get the 9/11 truth table at the farmer's market in Madison?
I didn't see the 9/11 truth table.
There is one. Yeah, it's usually
okay.
it's, staffed by Lou Stoltenberg, who is the new coordinator of the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth since I left last year. She's been running that, and she and some other folks in Madison get out there at the farmer's market and help spread 9/11 Truth information on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I was there for about an hour and a half. I probably just missed them or something. But I'm delighted to see Wisconsin is as progressive, if not more so in some ways, than California. It was really good to have that community public space where people were engaging in dialogues with each other. And it's refreshing to see people caring about what matters, which is not, you know, the plastic crap you buy at Target and Walmart, but our rights, our civil rights, our liberties, our sense of right and wrong.
Well, that's right, and that's what we keep telling you here at We the People Radio Network. This is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Peter Thottam. He's with the 9/11 Truth Group in L.A. He's at peterthottam.com, at P-H-O-T-T-A-M.com. You can watch him get arrested after giving Nancy Pelosi a hard time there. And we'll be right back in a second.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Truth Jihad Radio, right here at We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. I do this show every weekend, Saturdays and Sundays, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time, a brand new time slot. I'm batting before Alex Jones here on Sundays, and I've got today with me this hour Peter Thottam of L.A. 9/11 Truth. He's got his own website, peterthottam.com. He was recently arrested after giving Nancy Pelosi a piece of his mind. In the next hour, we'll be bringing on Barbara Honegger, the lead journalist at the Naval Postgraduate Institute in Monterey, California. She'll be talking about the fact that the 9/11 attacks and the anthrax attacks have been proven to be related now that the government admits that anthrax was false flag. That means they're basically admitting that 9/11 was false flag, too, according to her brand-new article that will be published in the September Rock Creek Free Press, if not elsewhere. So stay tuned for that. Well, Peter, it's pretty interesting how just last week, I know that you kind of backed off a little bit on impeachment a while ago, and then just this past week, Ron Suskind's information that Bush ordered the CIA to forge and backdate fake documents tying Saddam Hussein to Saddam to Al Qaeda and WMDs. This new explosive information has apparently led to Conyers saying that he's going to have the Judiciary Committee look into it, and people have been calling the Judiciary Committee to urge them to do it. Do you think there's still a chance that we might impeach these guys before their term ends and thereby send this, you know, powerful signal that all of this craziness that's been going on is not acceptable?
But let me be absolutely clear. I've never backed off of impeachment. I gave up on Congress as a venue, as a vehicle for getting it done. There is no administration in the history of this country that deserves impeachment. Ron Suskind's book is the latest in a long stream of disclosures and revelations in the last 2 years that have come out, from the after Downing Street memo to scrutiny to all the disclosures about the intelligence and the WMD fakery. And the forged memo that's highlighted in the book is just the final straw for absolutely, impeachment has to happen. And if there's any way to make it happen, everyone should drop what they're doing and make sure that they work towards that end. The problem is Conyers and Pelosi are Tweedledee and Tweedledum, just spinning stories, giving soft talk and lip service to the peace movement and the impeachment movement to buy time. You know, I have zero, let me underscore that, zero respect for Nancy Pelosi or for John Conyers. They are traitors. They are enablers of the worst kind. They have allowed Bush and Cheney to get to a point where they're going to go scot-free from this administration, having committed the worst crimes and constitutional violations of U.S. history and having been directly responsible for the deaths of 5,000 Americans and over a million Iraqis. And to allow these people to leave office without being held accountable is the worst statement about the failure of the system and of the corruption in Washington. I mean, it really, really, really pisses me off. To no end that impeachment hasn't happened today. And, you know, the Financial Times, the day I made my Nancy Pelosi comments, Kevin, the Financial Times of London, which is arguably the most read international newspaper in the world, ran an editorial saying that Ron Suskind's allegations and the forged memo, in its opinion, constituted a basis for a serious exploration of impeachment. So here you have England, right? And in Pakistan, of course, at the same time, you had Musharraf being impeached by the Pakistanis. And all of these, you know, England on one end and Pakistan on the other, the people are able to, the press and the people are able to assert their rights and their liberties and to hold their leaders accountable and to call for it, at least. Whereas in the United States, people like Dennis Kucinich, leaders like Cynthia McKinney are blacked out. They're not given a voice. The media spins everything and doesn't show the dissent that exists in the United States. And people are spoon-fed stories, BS stories about Paris Hilton and about Britney Spears and JonBenet Ramsey and Michael Jackson. Just sirens in the night to distract, you know, Americans. And it's so obvious now to anyone who's paying attention that we're being set up for a police state, for martial law. And that the congressional system is at an all-time low in terms of approval because these leaders don't represent us. They represent corporations. They represent the military-industrial complex. They represent foreign powers such as the state of Israel. You know, we have to wake up and we have to say loud and clear that we, the people, will not tolerate the destruction of our Constitution. And we've got to do it now. We're out of time. We're running out of time. Bush and Cheney will leave in less than 6 months. And Cindy Sheehan, if she doesn't win in November, you know, it will be a sad, sad testimony to the intransigence of the current system. We're going to have a big event on September 11th in Los Angeles. We're having our memorial event, 7th year anniversary. Bob Bowman, who ran for president 4 years ago, Edward Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, the critique of the Federal Reserve and the corruption of the U.S. political system, and Sophia, the producer and director of 9/11 Mysteries, and myself will be among the keynote speakers. And one of the things we're going to grapple with very seriously at that memorial event is going beyond left and right. And the subtitle of the event is Beyond 9/11, Beyond Left and Right, : A Call to Action. And one of the things I hope we can really work on as a movement in the next 6 months, the next six months, is strategizing and coming together as a united front to figure out ways to really force the system to respond, to force the sort of nonviolent change that we talk about, to really spend our time dedicated to coming up with answers.
Well, that sounds good to me. Going beyond left and right is what I'm trying to do here in Wisconsin. And some of the Libertarian Party people who are really kind of stuck on the right, people who want to, you know, are really big on abolishing Social Security and, you know, getting the government out of welfare and health care and stuff like that, are kind of unhappy about my Libertarian candidacy because, hey, I'm in favor of strengthening and keeping Social Security. And I even think single-payer health care would be a good idea because it costs half as much and it works better, at least everywhere else in the world it does. So some of the Libertarians are still, you know, wanting to fight that battle. My message to them, though, is that we need to unite, especially third-party people, people who really see what's going on with the important power center issues, need to unite in an attack on the two-party system. We need to take them down. And to do that, we shouldn't be cast as being strictly from the left or strictly from the right. We need to bring people from both sides together to do this. And that's what I'm trying to do here in Wisconsin.
I think that's wonderful. I hope people contribute to your campaign. I plan to cut you a check, too, Kevin.
Well, thank you. It's at BarrettForCongress.us.
So I get to Cindy Sheehan, $1,100 of my own savings. And I hope people realize that, you know, this is the time, people. It's now. We have got to stand up for Cindy, Kevin, and Carol Boulle, and all of these people who are attempting to speak truth to power, but don't have the funding base that these incumbent candidates do. And we have to get out there in the streets, and just like We Are Change is doing, and hold up signs and banners. But we also got to go to events, buy tickets, and during Q&A, hold up signs and grill and put ourselves on the line. People are dying every day in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Innocent civilians are dying every day. And in the streets of this country, poverty is taking off. It's exploding. All right? There are more and more social problems that are not being dealt with in the United States. And the media has become a propaganda machinery, distracting Americans from what's going on, not just abroad, but increasingly here in the United States. And I hope your listeners will really take it to the next level. I hope that they will put themselves online. I went to jail on Monday night last week, and I would gladly do the same thing again. I think it's one of the best things I've ever done. And it's high time that we take the Gandhian, Martin Luther King approach and do what's right. Do the right thing, whether it means, getting arrested. We have to engage in acts of civil disobedience, and we have to put ourselves on the line. This is a struggle, a long-term struggle. It's not going to be happening. The solution won't happen overnight. But collectively, we constitute millions of people. And around the world, we constitute hundreds of millions of people who recognize that the U.S. war machine is out of control and needs to be checked and held accountable.
Well, that's right. We have to not only put ourselves online, but we also have to put ourselves on the line. And I respect you for doing that, Peter, laying on the line and getting arrested, interrupting Nancy Pelosi. She deserves to be interrupted everywhere she goes. This is Kevin Barrett right here on Truth Yet Radio. We'll be back for another segment with Peter Sodom of LA 9/11 Truth and Peter back to the Truth Jihad Radio Show, right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm Kevin Barrett. Next hour, I'll be talking with Barbara Honegger. She's the author of October Surprise, Blowing the Whistle on George Bush the Elder's treasonous deal with the Iranian mullahs to keep the U.S. hostages locked up until Ronald Reagan and George Bush the Elder defeated Jimmy Carter in the 1980 election. She's also weighing in on the anthrax case, saying that she has strong evidence tying it to 9/11. When the government admits that anthrax is a false flag U.S. government inside job, it is also admitting that 9/11 was as well. This should be an interesting conversation. Well, currently, I'm with Peter Sodom of LA 9/11 Truth. Peter is the hero of the hour after he got in Nancy Pelosi's face last week and went to jail overnight for it, and he's urging everybody to stand up and be counted, get out of cyberspace and into real space and time outside your computer screen and do something and help out an insurgent candidate, make noise at an event, hold up signs. In fact, if anybody needs signs that are perfect for smuggling into events, even if you're frisked by security, I have them for free. Just contact me, Kevin. K. Barrett at mirror.com, or you can find that through barrettforcongress.us and ask me for some inside job plastic roll banner signs. These things can be folded up to the size of a handkerchief. You can get them past just about any kind of security short of full body cavity searches. And if they're doing that, you don't want to go to that event anyway. And so they're huge. They're 2 by 3 feet, loud, screaming red inside job signs. They can be seen from half a mile away, pretty much. So anybody who wants those and is going to use them, I've still got a couple of rolls. I'm giving them away free. Contact me through the website, barrettforcongress.us. So, Peter, this global emergency that we're in, well, national emergency, global emergency, whatever you want to call it, it seems to be still rolling right along as the Bush regime is picking a fight with Russia in Georgia and lying through their teeth about it. Bush, you know, has been lying like a sack of Shavili, who's peddling these lies that it's the Russians' fault that Georgia slaughtered a bunch of Russian peacekeepers and then a bunch of civilians to set off that little skirmish. If the Bush regime's going after Russia, Peter, this is even more dangerous and destructive than going after Iraq and Iran.
Yeah, well, I mean, Webster Tarpley and others have written at length about this. This is an extremely important development, and coupled with everything else that's been going on, all the executive orders, the abolition of posse comitati, the suspension of habeas corpus, the doing away, the Military Commissions Act, its implementation, all of this stuff, and the Russian actions in Georgia and the U.S. military involvement in setting up Georgia's infrastructure to make these excursions and to be this threat really points to what's going on. I think Webster Tarpley is correct, Kevin, in analyzing this as the failure. Basically, the neocons in this country have lost their credibility with the elites that are dictating policy. And what's going on with Georgia and Russia is essentially the Rockefeller-Brzezinski wing of U.S. foreign policy, that school of thought, the Trilateral Commission, and then its successor, the Council of Foreign Relations, is looking at the Caspian Sea, is looking at the mess in Iraq, and is saying, listen, we need to start checking Russia. We need to start gaining greater control over both Kazakhstan and Georgia and Azerbaijan and Turkmenistan, because the pipelines that will go from the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea through these countries and through Pakistan and Turkmenistan will become more and more important in the decade to come as the price of oil and the value of natural gas goes up. So what's happening in Georgia, and it started on 8-8-08, you know.
And that was pretty interesting, wasn't it? You know, a lot of folks think that the so-called New World Order people like these memorable dates for their actions. They're sending a little gangland-style code to each other that this is another inside job. You think that was the case with 8-8-8?
I have deep suspicion. You know, I don't know anything for that, but I think it's remarkable that Putin and George were shaking hands and smiling at each other at the Beijing Olympics. And, you know, concurrently, Bush was absolutely aware of what was going on. He knew about the tanks. I mean, the satellite photos were all there. They've been aware.
Well, the photos, Peter, that Georgia is a U.S. puppet regime. I mean, they were ordered by the Bush administration to do that, obviously.
The minister of Georgia went to Columbia University. You know, he was involved with the Rockefellers. I mean, this stuff is deep, people. You know, and you have, I suspect that once the deep analysis goes on, the deep power analysis of Georgia and all these characters and what they've been trying to do, you will directly be able to trace it back to the United States and to Brzezinski and the Rockefellers.
They call themselves the realists. You know, as opposed to the neocons, we invent our own reality kind of school of thought, you know, the Karl Rove school of thought that says that laughs at the so-called reality-based community. Well, the Brzezinski and Rockefeller people, those are the realists. But just like the neocons, they are vicious, psychopathic bullies and mass murderers who are just maybe a little slicker at their bullying and mass murder.
Yeah, and let me make one request to your listeners. I want all of your listeners to pick up a globe or a map and spend 15 minutes, you know, at least, just looking at the Middle East, looking at the Caspian Sea. They need to understand this region of the world. The Grand Chessboard is what Brzezinski called it. And they should familiarize themselves very quickly with Kazakhstan, with Azerbaijan, with Armenia, you know, because in the next several years, you can guarantee that these countries are going to become as front and center as Iraq is today, as Pakistan is today. Because what a lot of people don't understand is that one of the reasons we went into Afghanistan has to do with the Caspian Sea and with this pipeline that's going through Turkmenistan and Afghanistan and Pakistan. You know, this is all about oil and about natural gas and about water. And that region of the world is huge. Most people don't know that Kazakhstan is a country most Americans have never heard of. It is almost the size of the United States. You know, it's this former part of the Soviet Union that was partitioned off. It is enormous. The population is only 25 million or so, but it's almost the size of the U.S., and it's a part of the world that most people don't even know exists. It's extremely important that we become aware of what we're dealing with and literate in geopolitical events. If we're really going to hold these people accountable, we need to connect with the rest of the world. Like you were saying, we need to focus on building bridges and present ourselves as big picture people who understand what the neocons and the realists are up to and what's
That's
really
right.
driving
we also need
on
to,
policy.
I think we need to keep it simple in a certain way, though, and say that what we want is to end the empire and restore the republic. Nobody wants us to have an empire except for a tiny, you know, fringe group of wackos, but still we have one. And, you know, talking about restoring the republic and ending the empire, I think, is the best sort of soundbite way to get this message across.
Agreed. It's a good way of capturing the essence of what's going on.
But you're right. We do need to know our facts as much as possible, too, so that we can debate these things in an informed way. What do you think of Carl Schwartz and his claim that the Bush administration has lost the Caspian region and its energy supplies to the Russians, that they've blown it, that it's over, that they don't even have a chance?
I disagree. I mean, I think that we've positioned ourselves with 14 or 16 military bases in Iraq. You know, we've sent a ton of money to Georgia. We've sent a ton of money to Turkmenistan. We obviously are focusing more and more on Afghanistan. This is all about the Caspian Sea. You know, it's all about the something like two-thirds of the world's natural gas reserves, half to two-thirds, is in the Caspian Sea area. It is extremely important. And as petroleum goes down, you know, peak oil, natural gas is going to become more and more important. Alan Greenspan has been talking more and more in his stump speeches about natural gas. And I think that everything that's going on in the region is about the fact that the United States wants to make a regional play for power. Yes, Russia is our threat, or is not our threat, it's their threat, right? The empire, the elites that want access to the region's natural resources view Russia as a competitor. And
Russia does control a lot of, you know, most of the natural gas coming out of the central Eurasia, especially the Caspian. Region, right? The Bush regime, at least, doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
looks like we hear the music now. Come to the end of our hour. Been a great conversation. Thank you, Peter Thonim, for the great work that you're continuing to do and your bravery in standing up to Nancy Pelosi and her nonsense. Keep it up, and I hope to have you back on before too long.
Thanks, Kevin. Much appreciated.
Okay, take care. That's Peter Thonim. He's on the web at peterthonim.com. That's PHOTTAM.com. PHOTTAM.com. We'll be right back with Barbara Honegger in a moment.